and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 12.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
This week we have a special Bluefield Blue Jays edition of the podcast. Following our usual minor league roundup, we'll have the conversation with Baby Jays, Tom Robson, Shane Dawson, DJ Davis, Mitch Ney, and Jorge Saez. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Since our last podcast, you may have heard that the Blue Jays did not sign their first-round pick, Phil Bickford. The Jays will receive a first-round pick reported at number 11 next year as compensation. The Jays also used the bonus money that they had saved on other players to sign 11th-rounder Jake Brents and 30th-rounder Rowdy Tellez. Tellez has begun his pro career in the GCL, and Brents has yet to be assigned. And now the minor league roundup. It's been a busy couple of weeks in the Jays' minor league system. The Buffalo Bisons went 5-6 over the past week to bring their record to 53-51, and they sit in third place in the International League North Division, 3.5 games back of the Pawtucket Red Sox. The major news for the Bisons this week was the release of pitcher Claudio Vargas and outfielder Eugenio Velez. They were let go to make room for Neil Wagner, who was sent down from Toronto, and Moises Sierra, who returned from the DL. In other news, Sergio Santos continues his rehab with the Bisons, which hasn't gone particularly well at the AAA level. He's given up 5 runs, 3 of which were earned, in 4 innings on 6 hits with 1 walk and 5 strikeouts. Jay Happ is also with the Buffalo Bisons on his rehab assignment and pitched very well in his only start so far. He's scheduled to get one more start before rejoining the pitching-starved Blue Jays. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats have gone 8-5 over the past 2 weeks. Their big role has come to a halt at the hands of 3 straight losses, including being no-hit by the Altoona Curve last night. The Fisher Cats are just half a game out of the second playoff spot in the Eastern Division of the Eastern League, with a 52-51 record. There have been very few roster moves, and the good news continues to be the solid play of A.J. Jimenez and Gabe Jacobo since his promotion from Dunedin on the hitting side, and Sean Nolan and Marcus Stroman on the pitching side. Andy Burns continues to scuffle along around the Mendoza line, but has been hitting a lot of doubles and had a 7-game hitting streak snapped by the no-hitter yesterday. A couple of recent stories have found the Dunedin Blue Jays, whose second half hasn't been nearly as good as their North Division championship in the first. The team is 4-9 in the last 2 weeks and are dead last in the North Division with a 12-19 second-half record. The team has put a few good games in a row together, led by California native, the 22-year-old Casey Hobson, who in the last 4 games has gone on an epic tear. He's gone 11-17 with 3 doubles, 3 home runs, and 14 RBI. Hobson, playing his first year in the Florida State League, appears to be making some of the adjustments he needs to make despite his impressive power being evident since the beginning of the season. Hobson leads the team with 16 home runs and is tied for 4th in the league in home runs despite having far fewer at-bats than the top 2 on the list. The Dunedin Blue Jays have also got an infusion of pitching despite its being the team's strongest point. Kyle Drabek was optioned to Dunedin after his official rehab stint ended, and he's been very strong in his last few starts. Drew Hutchison is a little bit behind Drabek in his comeback from Tommy John surgery and has posted a phenomenal 4-inning, 8-strikeout start last night for the DJs. Finally, Justin Jackson, the former position player who has been converted to a pitcher, was promoted to Dunedin, and reliever spot starter Marco Griffintini was released to make room on the roster. The Lansing Lugnuts have begun to turn things around in the last 2 weeks, going 6-6 since the last podcast. They're still in last place of the Eastern Division of the Midwest League, but are only 2 games behind the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, their closest competitor. The Lugnuts have also gotten a few new faces. Jordan Leyland and Daniel Klein have arrived from Vancouver, and pitcher Matt Boyd has joined the team since his signing at the draft pick signing deadline. Justin Jackson was promoted, and catcher Seth Connor was demoted to Vancouver. The offense has been led by Dwight Smith Jr. and Dalton Pompey, while the surprising name, Ben White, has become one of the most consistent starters for the team. White has posted a 6-5 record with a 3.68 ERA as a starter and has gotten the job done by keeping the ball in the park and not walking too many. The Vancouver Canadiens kick off the day by announcing that 8 players have been named to the Northwest League All-Star Game. 2 Canadian Canadiens are on the list, Eric Brown from Thunder Bay, Ontario, and catcher Mike Reeves from Peterborough, Ontario, as well as Jeremy Gabreski, Jordan Leyland, Dickie Thon, Ian Parmley, and 2013 draftees L.B. Dantzler and Brendan Kalfas. The Canadiens are into the second half of their season with a 2-1 record in the second half, after coming one game from a playoff spot with a 22-16 record in the first half. Offensively, the team is being led by the torrid hitting of all-star Mike Reeves, who's hitting .363 and has now gotten enough plate appearances to qualify for the league batting title, where he's currently in the lead. Reeves only has 2 extra base hits, but teammate and fellow all-star L.B. Dantzler leads the league in doubles with 13 and leads the team in home runs with 4. The South Carolina alum has definitely provided the power to this Vancouver offense. Jeremy Gabreski has been a story of his own. He leads the club with a 0.99 ERA and has been absolutely dominant in his pitching this year in the Northwest League. The youngest pitcher on the staff, Gabby, also has a minuscule 0.832 whip that comes from only 3 walks in 45 2/3 innings. The Bluefield Blue Jays are turning into the powerhouse of the Appalachian League, going 11-4 in the last 2 weeks to lead the Eastern Division with a 21-12 record, a game and a half up on the Pulaski Mariners. Leading the team in batting average is Ithaca College 2013 draftee Tim LaCastro, while Mitch Ney, DJ Davis, and Dawell Lugo are also getting the job done. The pitching staff features a number of prospects, including Chase DeYoung, Jairo Laborde, Alberto Tirado, and one young man that I saw personally, who you'll hear from shortly, Tom Robson. Robson is turning into a Jeremy Gabreski-type pitcher, although Robson throws harder, walks a few more, but still posts good numbers, but he strikes out more. Robson's main weapon is his hard sinker that comes in between 90 and 92 miles an hour and induces a ton of ground balls. He's induced 4 groundouts to every fly or lineout he's gotten all year. The GCL Blue Jays are 5-9 since our last podcast and are 13-14 and in third place in the Northwest Division of the Gulf Coast League. Thomas Boomer Collins III, a college undrafted free agent, is dominating the Gulf Coast League to a tune of an OPS of over 1,000 and a .382 batting average. Collins has 9 extra base hits of his 34 hits and is only second on the team to Franklin Barreto in that regard. The only reason that he might not get a promotion, despite being 24 years old already, is the logjam of outfielders in Bluefield, although a jump directly to Vancouver isn't out of the question. Catcher Dan Jansen has also been making a great impression as a high schooler. He's hitting .279 with a couple of doubles in 43 at-bats and has been getting good reports on his defense. Pitcher Corey Gorman is another undrafted free agent who has been trying to show that he's outgrown this league. Gorman will be 23 in August and has posted a minuscule 0.54 ERA in 16 2/3 innings with 14 strikeouts, but needs to cut down on his 9 walks. That's all for the minor league roundup. Now it's time for The Conversation, Bluefield Blue Jays edition. Stay tuned to hear interviews with Shane Dawson, Tom Robson, DJ Davis, Jorge Saiz, and Mitch Ney. I'm here with Alberta native pitcher for the Bluefield Blue Jays, Shane Dawson. Shane, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, this is your second year of professional baseball, and you were drafted last year. What's it like for someone coming out of Canada to get drafted, and what did you have to do to get there to get drafted, first of all?
I've been playing baseball for, this will be my 17th year playing baseball, so lots of traveling, driving an hour and a half to practice every day when I was younger. And it's a great opportunity for me. I've worked my whole life for it. That's what I wanted to do since I was a kid, and I'm happy I finally got here.
Were you scouted playing in high school, or was it more something in a travel team that you were playing?
There isn't high school ball where I'm from, so it was all travel ball. I think I started getting noticed when I was about 16 or 17 years old, at a MLB showcase in Okotoks, Alberta.
So these MLB showcases are places where high school players primarily go to showcase their stuff. And what were you doing there? What kind of things were you showing off in that showcase?
Just our stuff off the mound. You know, there was a couple scouts there, a couple college team coaches there. And that's where I met my college coach, and he really liked me. And from then on, we kind of blossomed into the pitcher I am today.
So what kind of pitcher are you today? What do you go out there throwing? What do you try to do to the batter?
I try to throw a lot of fastballs. I'm not an overpowering pitcher, so I got to locate well and change speeds. And being left-handed is an advantage, so...
So you had some really great games this year. I think you had one game when you came out and you struck out 9,
yeah.
Was it? Can you take us back, and what was that game like for you?
You know, it wasn't really any different from any other game. It's just they were swinging and missing. They were just swinging over top of balls, not really ready for the curveball. But I felt really good. Nothing out of the ordinary, really.
You're just going out there and doing what you always do and just had a good day.
Yeah, just fill up the strike zone. If they hit it, they hit it. If they swing and miss, then it's a bonus for me.
And how do you like playing in Bluefield? It's a nice little town. It's right on the border of Virginia and West Virginia. What's it like coming down here from Canada playing in the South?
It's all right. I like it here. It's quiet. Can't get in any trouble, so I don't mind it. It's another stepping stone towards the big dream. So.
And you were down in Dunedin last year. Is it a little bit easier without the daily grind that you have in Dunedin?
Oh, no, not at all. Got to take every day seriously, no matter whether you're in Dunedin or Bluefield or New Hampshire. Everything's the same. You got to come to the ballpark with the same approach every day.
And what's your favorite thing about pitching?
Winning. Competing. Just giving my team an opportunity to win. That's the biggest thing. That goes noticed, even if you get the loss. Just going out there competing and giving it everything you got.
Well, great. I'll let you go. I'm sure you guys are raring to get out of here. But thanks a lot for taking the time, and have a great day.
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with starting pitcher for the Bluefield Blue Jays and Vancouver native Tom Robson. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So, first of all, let's talk about what it's like being a Canadian down here in Bluefield, Virginia, West Virginia.
It's not bad, actually. Coming from Vancouver, with all these mountains here, it's real similar to Vancouver. I like the mountains. It makes me feel like I'm a bit closer to home rather than in Florida, where it's boiling hot every day. But you know, it's definitely a good change of scenery after being in Florida for 2 or 3 months. So I'm enjoying my time here, and I'm having a lot of fun.
And it's fun when you're winning and when you're pitching really well. You had a very, very good outing the other day, pitching 5 innings, I believe it was, and I don't think you gave up a run at all.
Yeah, that was the first time I went 5 innings. We're obviously on pitch counts here, so it all depends on how many pitches you're at, and we're piggybacking. So I've relieved in a couple games. I've started about 3 or 4 now. And hopefully I can keep on going 5 innings, because that means I'm keeping my pitch count down and I can get some more innings.
Is that something that the staff here is really working on, is keeping the pitch count down?
Yeah, I'd say so. We got a lot of young guys, a lot of young good guys. So, you know, there's no need to really throw too many pitches at this age, especially when we're young. You don't want to get hurt early in your career. So the piggyback situation we're doing is usually the starter will either go 4 or 5, and then depending on how many innings the starter goes, the reliever will go the rest of the game, if not most of the game, and then we'll have a reliever come in for 1 inning. And it's been working really well, and our staff's been pitching exceptionally well, so I think we're going to continue to do well.
Well, it's definitely going well, because it's a first-place team right now here in Bluefield, and sweeping both games of the doubleheader yesterday and going 1 out of 2 on Thursday. What kind of a pitcher are you? Can you tell us more about what you throw, what your goals are when you're out there on the mound, and what batters should be afraid of when you're out there pitching?
Well, to describe a pitcher I am, I'd say I like to use my fastball a lot. Pitch to contact, obviously you've seen the defense we have. We have a really good defense, so I have total confidence in them having my back. So all I really try and do when I'm up there is throw strikes and make them hit it, because I know if I make a quality pitch, chances are they're going to be out because the defense behind me is really good.
And what are you throwing to keep the hitters off balance when just to give them something else to look at other than the fastball?
Well, I throw a sinker, which is mainly all my fastballs are sinkers, and then I have a changeup that I throw, and I have a curveball that I throw, which I'll use second time through the lineup mostly. I like to rely on my sinker first time through the lineup, and then once they get a second look, I'll start mixing in my other pitches deeper in that, so I can go deeper in the game.
Great. And growing up in Vancouver, it's obviously not the same type of scrutiny playing high school ball and playing ball in school as it is if you were coming out of the United States. What was it that you were doing that got you noticed by scouts?
I played on the Canadian Junior National team, and we'd play against all the pro teams in Florida. We actually played the Blue Jays a couple times where I pitched, and I did pretty well, so that might have caught their attention. And also, we trained at the Atlanta Braves complex, and we played their extended teams, which, you know, as a pitcher, it's great to see pro hitters coming from high school, right? Because not everyone is that developed yet. But another big thing was playing internationally, playing against different countries. Obviously, they take the best talent out of every country, and you compete. And that was something real special I got to do in high school, and I'll never forget that.
Do you have any favorite memories of playing for the national team?
Yeah, in the Worlds in Thunder Bay, we made the semifinal game, and I pitched in the round robin against Cuba, which is a great ball club, and I did pretty well that game, and I pitched against them again in the bronze medal game, and I also did pretty well there. So those are two games that I'll never forget, and just being there with all those guys that I had been with for the whole year in 2010, it was a really good finish to my summer.
And I was talking to Paul Quantrill a little bit earlier, and he mentioned that he coached you for that junior national team.
Yeah, he did. He's a really good coach. I got nothing but great things to say about him. I try and talk to him as much as I can whenever I'm around him. And in the off season, I'll give him a call or two whenever I need to, just to get some help. And yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from him. Not only just physical things, but mental things as well. Obviously, he pitched in the big leagues for, I think, 18 years. So he's a good guy to learn from.
Right. What was it like getting drafted, but not only just getting drafted, because obviously that's every player's goal,
yeah,
but getting drafted by Toronto?
It was a dream come true. Growing up in Canada, the only Canadian baseball team was the Toronto Blue Jays. So when you turn on the TV and you want to watch baseball, usually the only team that would be on TV in Canada were the Blue Jays. So I grew up watching them day in and day out. And, you know, I got to know them really well, and obviously being Canadian and playing for a Canadian team is awesome, representing your country. So I hope I can make it to Toronto one day and make my dream come true.
Did you play any other sports when you were young?
Yeah, I played volleyball, soccer, and some basketball.
No hockey?
I did play hockey, but I wasn't the greatest skater, and you could probably tell by my pitcher's fielding practice, but yeah, I wasn't the greatest skater.
Are you a Canucks fan?
Yeah, big Canucks fan. Love them.
And that just about wrapped it up for our conversation with Tom Robson. There wasn't much left, but it was very distorted due to the ambient noise around the ballpark. Next, we caught up with DJ Davis, the star center fielder of the Bluefield Blue Jays.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with DJ Davis. He's the Blue Jays center fielder for the Bluefield Blue Jays and last season's first round draft pick. So, how does it feel to be out here in Bluefield playing ball? I know you were here last year a little bit.
It's good to be out here because, you know, it ain't a lot to do outside, so you can focus more on baseball. So it's good.
So you get to eat, breathe, live
baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you've always wanted to do?
Yeah. That's what I wanted all my life. Coming up, that's what I wanted.
Now, you're from Mississippi, and I know there are a lot of football players coming from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever something you wanted to do, or just baseball?
Nah, football wasn't for me. I mean, I tried it, but it wasn't for me. I just, like, loved the game of baseball.
And last year, when you were last June, so it's been a little more than a year, mm-hmm. when the Toronto Blue Jays drafted you, what was your first reaction?
High excitement. Really didn't know what to do, what to think. And I had to just sleep that night, and I woke up. It's for real.
It's for real?
Yeah.
They pinched you, and it was still there.
Yeah, it was still there. It was real.
Yeah. So what was your first reaction when you got into the Blue Jays system? You started playing pro ball?
I was just looking for, like, better talent and, you know, just faster pace. Really didn't know what I was coming to, what I was getting into, but it's nice. It's pretty good.
It slows down a little bit after a while?
Yep.
And coming back to Bluefield for the second year, do you enjoy that it's a little bit more familiar for you?
Yeah, I like it because I'm familiar with some of the people, the fans know me, and it's just a good place to start off.
Now, when you get up to bat, what are you trying to do with the ball? What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to just get a pitch I can hit and just drive it.
Drive it?
Yeah.
And obviously, you're well known for being a really fast guy. You're well known for just flat-out speed. But sometimes it takes a while to learn to take that flat-out speed and turn it into baseball speed.
Mm-hmm.
What are you learning, especially with Tim Raines here? What are you learning?
He teaches me a lot. Tim Raines teaches me a lot, like just getting good jumps and just being smart out there. Yeah. Getting the jump, really. Yep.
And is he one of the coaches that you've enjoyed working with the most?
Yep, Tim Raines is one of the. Yep, him. I'd say Dennis Huck. Like I enjoy them.
So, what's the biggest thing that you think that you need to work on still, in particularly in your hitting? I know you're also well known for being a great outfielder.
Yeah. The thing I need to work on more is probably getting better jumps and just staying within myself at the plate and getting good pitches and hit.
Well, thanks very much, DJ, and have a great series, great rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm here with Jorge Saiz, catcher for the Bluefield Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's great to see you play. I've seen your name filling up the box scores and for the Bluefield Blue Jays, and what's it like, first of all, out here, getting the chance to play every day, getting a chance, like days like today, where you're playing in two games, mm-hmm. catching one and DHing the other, getting those hacks in and mm-hmm. getting a chance to see as much pitching as you can?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I feel great. I like the opportunity that they've given me. I think they like, you know, what they see. So, you know, I'm going out, I'm trying to do my best every single game. And, you know, I'm just trying to get my work in, you know, and try to help the team win, because it's easy to be successful when you're trying to play, I guess, unselfish for the other guys. You know, the more W's you put, the more fun you have, the easier it is to play. The more successful you're going to be. So, I mean, that's something, you know, we try to instill, you know, as, you know, I talk to the guys, let's try to go out, let's try to get a W, let's do the small things, because, you know, if you take care of the little things, obviously the big things will take care of themselves. So you can't win games, you can only lose them.
So when you're the catcher, do you think that your responsibility for contributing to those wins as a teammate is a little bit greater than some of the other players?
I don't think it's greater, because, you know, everybody, you know, I'm only one-tenth, or one-tenth, depending with the DH, you know, just of the responsibility of the priorities, you know what I'm saying? I guess you could say my part, it might be a little more complicated, but it's not more important than anybody else, because I can call a great game, but, you know, if one of the guys out there, you know, mess up or something, I mean, you can't take that. You got to just do your own part, and I feel that, you know, helping out the pitchers, yeah, there's a lot more mental work to put in, thinking about situations and stuff like that, but the biggest thing is, you know, I know if I put in my part, you know, I'm going to help other guys. You know, it's good, because, you know, as I feel like if I help my part, I help the pitchers, keep putting zeros up, it's easier to hit when we're in the game this close, because it's more interesting. You know, if you're down by 10, it's no fun.
Well, let's talk about being down, because in the first game of today's doubleheader, you guys were down by several runs and you came back to win it in the ninth. What's that like?
I mean, it's great. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the July 4th game. I mean, you know, you just come back. You know, you stick around the game long enough. We took advantage of certain situations. We kept the, you know, our pitching did as best as it can. You know, got some jams, got out of some jams, limited some runs. And that's all you can ask for the pitching. And, you know, we came back. We came through in the clutch again. And, man, it's always fun. You know, you got to take a win when they give it to you, you know?
Absolutely. And when you're hitting, what kind of things are you working on? What kind of hitter do you think you are, or do you feel you are?
I like to think I'm Albert Pujols, but I'm not that. But
not yet.
Not, yeah, I mean, we'll get there one day. But you know, I'm trying to work on. I think lately, you know, too many K's lately, not enough walks. And if you look at me past, pretty much been 101 walk strikeout ratio. So working on just being going back to that contact here, being a tough out. And I think I had a few games this series where it was good. I think I had that one game struck out twice. And I'm just trying to, you know, work the other way, try to stay in the middle of the field, and not trying to do too much, because that gets, I mean, that gets any player in trouble. So just trying to get back to the basics right now.
And growing up, you're from Florida, you're from Miami. What's it like as a young player, as a young kid growing up in Miami? I know you're proud of your Cuban heritage. What's that like coming up as a and on this team? I'll ask you that question actually in a minute, but first of all, what's it like growing up playing when you're a kid playing high school?
I mean, growing up, the only thing I played was baseball. I mean, no football, no basketball. I think we tried flag football once this summer or something like that, just to take some time off. And I mean, you played every single day. I mean, it's 80 degree Christmas days. I mean, go figure. February only gets down to like 55. I mean, you're playing every single day, all year round. It's just never ending. And I think it was good because I was always active, always playing. Not enough time for video games. You know, always at the park. You know, me and my brother, my sister. I'm the oldest, so whenever they're practicing like softball, baseball, you know, I was playing basketball or something, or helping them out. So, I mean, it helps a lot being able to play as much as I did, and it was influential. It helped me a lot, I feel, and a lot of experience so far. You know, I think a lot more experience than some guys, you know, that were debilitated due to weather stuff, you know.
And when you are, because of your Cuban background, and I've heard you're fluent in Spanish as well as English, does that help you with this team particularly, because there's a lot of Spanish-speaking players here?
Oh, definitely. I think that was I don't say one of the major, but you know, it helped me out in the draft process, and it definitely helps me because you know, I can talk to them personal, I can mess around with them, you know, I can throw in a joke, I can be serious, I can you know, sometimes you, I don't want to say lay in, but you got to correct and be constructive with them, and that always is genuine, because a lot of kids is, you know, coming up here still very young, especially a lot of Dominicans we have very young, 18, 19, 20, and I remember when I was 18, 19, 20, and I was, you know, a little hard-headed and in many areas, and I had it tough to learn. So it definitely, I feel like I can just relate to them more. I don't think there's much difference between what, you know, what I can tell them and Dennis could tell them, because, you know, I think we're trying to relay the same message, and I just think it's a little bit easier to relate to them, because I don't need a translator. I can just go straight up to them.
Great. Well, I want to thank you a lot. I know you've got to get out of here, but thanks a lot, Jorge Saiz, catcher for the Bluefield Blue Jays. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm here with Mitch Ney, third baseman for the Bluefield Blue Jays. Welcome to the podcast, Mitch.
It's nice to be on here.
Thanks very much. So let's start with what happened today. Today was the first single game you've played in the past week, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you had a really nice home run, hit it to left center field, almost over the light towers. What's going through your head before, during, after?
That at bat, I was facing another lefty, and recently I've been kind of pulling off those kind of guys, and I just really want to stay with the ball, and fouled a couple outside pitches off that, you know, I wish I had back, but 3-2 count, and he just put one over the middle of the plate, and I just kind of reacted to it, and I knew I hit it well, and I just kind of, it was a good swing. I was pretty happy with that at bat.
Now, you went back to back with Jonathan Davis, didn't you?
One after, yeah.
Oh, okay, it was close to back.
Close enough, yeah.
So, and Nico Taylor had also hit one in the first inning,
yeah.
I believe. So, is there something that you guys talk about with the pitchers, saying, you know, this guy's doing that, or look for this, that gets you all sort of keyed into him?
Yeah, we're always talking about pitchers. I mean, from the first hitter, when DJ goes up there, he'll see a guy, he'll come in the dugout right away after his at-bat. Even to the guy on deck, he'll be saying, you know, this guy's got a little sink, this guy's flat, this guy's changeup sinks a little bit, this guy's straight. Anything that can help the next hitter out or the next couple hitters out is huge when you're facing a starter like that.
I actually noticed Jorge Saiz asked you about something in just before, I think he went up to his first at bat.
Yeah.
What did you tell him?
I just told him that he was, you know, your prototypical lefty throwing 88, 90, and he's going to throw his changeup, and he's got a little bit of a curveball, and just go with him. Don't try and do too much with him, and that's really what I told him.
Now, this is your first year playing pro ball after being drafted last year.
Yep.
You told me you had an injury with your foot and spent last year rehabbing, I guess, and
yeah,
working back into shape. What's it like this year coming back and actually getting into game action after probably extended spring training and maybe fall instructional league last year? What's that like getting back into game action?
It's been really good. I mean, last summer was a long summer. I was sitting on my couch just waiting to heal, and you know, it really made me want to come play, and I was really excited to get this year started. And it's been a long year. I've learned a lot in a short amount of time, and pro ball does that for you, playing every day. And I feel really good about this year and just getting better all around, not only hitting but fielding, throwing, everything is just it's a learning experience this year for me.
Now, I know that you've been playing third base every day, and it, you know, it's great to be able to see you game in and game out. What types of things are you working on in the field particularly?
At third base, for me, it was just calming myself down and being more consistent with my feet and my throws. I dropped my arming a little bit, and it helped me be more consistent with my throws across the infield. It gave me more carry. And in the infield, I just really being consistent with my feet and taking my steps and taking my time and just making every play as routine as possible.
Now, there's another former third baseman on this club, and you throw to him every play over at first base with Matt Dean.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any competitions between the two of you, or picking up ground balls, or any fun, lighthearted things there?
No. I mean, in extended and spring training, we switched off at third base, and we actually roomed together throughout spring training and extended, and me and Matt have become friends since last instructional league, and he's a good guy. We have a lot of fun together, and it's good having him on the other side of the diamond, and me and Matt, we have a lot of fun together.
And what's it like playing in Bluefield? You're a Arizona guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
And so what's it like coming out here to West Virginia, and playing in Bluefield?
It's a lot different. It's green. I like how green it is. It's really nice out all the time. And if it breaks 90, everybody's surprised. And in Arizona, if it gets under 90, everybody's surprised. So I like it out here. It's good to play in under the lights. And I've had a lot of fun this year so far, and looking to have more fun with the rest of the season.
Great, and I'll just leave it with one question. What are the types of things that you're working on as a hitter?
I'm trying to work on, you know, calming myself down at the plate mentally and physically, so I can hit. You know, these guys are throwing a little harder, and if you can just slow it down, it makes it a lot easier for yourself, and also adjusting to, you know, if the ball's outside, go the other way, and adjusting to off-speed pitches as well. And I feel like I've gotten more calm, and the guy breaks off a breaking ball, I'm more ready for it now than I was before, and it's just that kind of stuff, just being more, you know, just controlled and relaxed, but still having that aggressiveness at the plate. It's kind of a balance you have to have.
Thanks a lot, Mitch.
Yep.
Have a great night, and yep. Good luck with the rest of the season.
All right, thank you. Thanks.
That wraps it up for episode 12 of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'd like to thank Shane Dawson, Tom Robson, DJ Davis, Jorge Saiz, and Mitch Ney of the Bluefield Blue Jays for joining me. I'd also like to thank Trey Wilson, media director for the Bluefield Club, as well as all the folks down there for making my stay so enjoyable. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back next week and go Jays go!